We've been just going through and looking at each of the different temptations that Jesus faced whenever he was in the wilderness. And we're coming tonight to look at the last one. And we're looking at this within the context of getting ready to serve God. And hopefully after tonight, we'll be more practical in terms of our service for God. But the third temptation of Jesus, we find it here in verse 8 to 11. And it reveals so much about the tempter, this particular temptation. It really takes the lid off him. And you see him for what he is and who he is. We just read again in verse 8. Again, the devil took him up on a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to Jesus, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. So this was the third temptation. Satan takes Jesus to an exceedingly high mountain. And he says to Jesus, see all the nations, all the kingdoms of the world. He says, if you will just fall down and worship me, I will give you them all. What a temptation. What an absurd temptation, we have to say. You know, whenever you look at this temptation and analyze it, it tells us so much about the tempter. Tells us so much about Satan. Because for the very first time, Jesus here identifies the tempter as Satan. In reply to him in verse 10, Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan. So he identifies who the tempter is. It's the devil. It's Satan. And this temptation reveals so much about him. The first thing it reveals about Satan is that he's a liar. He's a liar. Did you hear his temptation? He takes Jesus up into the high mountain and he says, Jesus, look at all the kingdoms of the world. Look at the nations. Look at the wealth. Look at the power. Look at it all, Jesus. He says, if you will fall down and worship me, I will give it to you. I will give it to you. But sure, it wasn't his to give in the first place. So it wasn't. But he didn't think of that. You see, he's a liar. He was pretending that it was his. He was making it out to be his. He was suggesting that he had the power to give it to whoever he wanted. But it wasn't his at all. And so we see here, first of all, that Satan's a liar. A liar. And it's so important that we realize that about Satan, that he is a liar. And just to say that he's a liar is really putting it quite mildly, so it is. And it's to be quite courteous to him. Jesus is not so courteous in John chapter 8 and verse 44. This is what he says as he speaks to some people. He says, you are of your father the devil. And the desires of your father you want to do. For he was a murderer from the beginning. He does not stand in truth. The devil, he does not stand in truth. He doesn't stand for truth. It says, there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources. For he is a liar and the father of it. It says he doesn't stand in truth. There's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources. For he is a liar and he is the father of lies, basically. And so that's the first thing we learn about Satan here. And it's important that we do, that he is a liar. He never tells you the truth. He never tells the truth. He never tells young people the truth. He never tells children the truth. So he doesn't. When he is leading them here and there and yonder. When he is telling them, this will be good for you. You will enjoy this. This will really improve your life. You can be sure that anything he tells you is a lie. Because we see him lying to Jesus here. He says, I will give you all these things if you will fall down and worship me. Small problem, they don't belong to you, Satan. You're a liar. You're a liar. And friends, we have to be so alert to him, so aware that he is a liar. Because he tells you things every day and he tells me things every day. There are times, friends, and thoughts pop into my head and they pop into your head. And they're not of God. They may appear to be of God, but they're not of God. God speaks through his word. So he does. And I believe the devil speaks to us more often than we realize. But we can safely dismiss all that he says to us as lies. Because he is a liar and the father of lies. So this passage and this temptation tells us he's a liar. You know what else it tells us? It tells us, friends, that he's a lunatic. He's a lunatic. So he is. Why do I say that? Because here we have this being, Satan, speaking to Jesus, speaking to the creator of the world, who owns all things. And he has no problem in saying to Jesus here, who he knows has created everything, and he knows he owns everything. He has no problem saying to him, Jesus, if you fall down and worship me, I will give you all of this. This man's got to be a lunatic. So he is. Because he knows fine well who Jesus is. He knows that Jesus has created the kingdoms and the nations and all. He knows it's not his to give. And yet, he offers it to Jesus. That's who you're dealing with. That's who I'm dealing with every day. As you are. Someone who is a liar. Someone who is a lunatic. But friends, someone who wants to be Lord. Wants to be Lord. That was the issue for him. He wanted to be Lord. So he did. He says to Jesus, Jesus, I will give you it all if you will but fall down and worship me. Fall down, Jesus, just fall down and worship me. What's he want? He wants to be Lord. He wants to be worshipped. He wants to be adored. He wants to have first place. He wants to be Lord. So he does. He was like that from the beginning. He wanted to be Lord. And friends, that is so significant. So significant. Because Jesus then replies to him and he says to Satan, away with you, Satan. It's written, you shall worship the Lord your God and him only shalt you serve. You see, the fact that he wants to be Lord, wanted to be Lord, wanted here to be Lord, still wants to be Lord. Wants to be worshipped and adored. He wants all of that. That's so significant for you and I, for the church today, when it comes to the gospel, when it comes to evangelism. And friends, I believe firmly that Satan hates the gospel. He hates evangelism. He hates the church that has a vision to reach out with the gospel. He hates that. He despises that because he knows. He knows that the gospel calls people to proclaim Jesus as Lord. That's what he knows. And that's an offense to him. He wants to be Lord, but the gospel calls people to proclaim Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. You know, he will be quite content
to allow the church to stay inside their four walls. He will be quite happy for them to sing all day and all night. But once they go out those doors with the gospel, he ups the ante. Because he wants to be Lord. And he knows that this church is going out to call other people to proclaim that Jesus is Lord. So that's who we're dealing with. That's what he's like. He's a liar. He's a lunatic. And he wants to be Lord. But what are we to do here? From Jesus' response to him here, what should we do as a church? Well, three things. We should stand up and serve. Stand up and serve. That's made clear in verse 10. Jesus says to him, "Away with you, Satan. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve." Him only you shall serve. What should we do? Live in fear of this liar? No. We should stand up and serve. Stand up and serve. "Away with you, Satan," Jesus says. "It's written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve." Him only you shall serve. How are we to serve? Well, we're to serve in the way he has called us to serve. We are to serve by going into the world with the gospel, as Gareth reminded us this morning. That's why we are to serve. We're to stand up and serve. And we notice here a number of things about serving. Our service is to be exclusive. So it is. Jesus says to Satan, "You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve." We are to exclusively serve the Lord. So we are. Don't we read in Matthew 6 and verse 24, "You cannot serve two masters, for you will love the one and despise the other." And Jesus here is teaching that when it comes to our service, there is that exclusive aspect of it. Him only shall you serve. We are to serve the Lord and him alone. We can't afford to serve two or three masters. It's to be the Lord and him alone. But we notice something else that we can put under this heading, stand up and serve. Yes, our service is to be exclusive of serving the Lord, but it's to be balanced. It's to be balanced. We looked at this morning. Jesus says to Satan, he says, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve." There is to be a balance between worshiping and serving. That's an important balance to get. It's a hard balance to get. So it is. If we're always worshiping, we're out of balance. If we're always serving, there's an imbalance. We're to worship and serve. There is a balance, an important balance to be struck here. Worship the Lord your God. Him only you shall serve. We also see here, as we think about standing up to serve, service will not be easy. Service will not be easy. Jesus was getting ready to serve. So he was. To serve his Father. He was being trained here in the wilderness. And he realizes, he learns really, really quickly that it's not easy. Because he discovers that there is an enemy. He discovers there is a tempter. Service is not easy. You see, to engage in service is to engage in battle. It is to engage in spiritual warfare. it is. You cannot engage in service, the kind that Jesus talks about. You cannot engage in service, the kind described in Matthew 28, go into all the world and preach the gospel. You cannot engage in that kind of service and not feel that you're in a battle. You will. And I think that's important for today, because you get the sense it's in some quarters that it's trendy to serve. It's cool to serve, so it is. It's the in thing. But the service that we read about in Scripture, serving as the Lord desires us to do, it involves us to be prepared to engage in battle, in spiritual warfare. My, look at how it was for Jesus here, and he hasn't even started his earthly ministry. Already the tempter has come to him when he was hungry, and he tempted him. He says, turn these stones into bread. Remember, then he took him up onto that high pinnacle on the temple, and he said to Jesus, throw yourself down, and sure, the angels will come and catch you. Jesus realizes he's in a battle here. This is warfare. So it is. Stand up and serve, friends. You shall worship the Lord your God. Him only shall you serve. But remember, service will not be easy. So it won't. So stand up and serve. Secondly, stand against the enemy. Stand against the enemy. And we have to be careful what we say here. So we do. We could go overboard. We could get things out of balance here. But we notice Jesus here. How does he respond to the tempter each time? He does respond to him. And he opposes him and he comes back at him. So he does. He doesn't run away from him at all. And perhaps in this last temptation, Jesus stands against him most aggressively. Because he says to him, away with you, Satan. He commands him to go away, away with you. He stands against the enemy. And we have to do that as well. Notice how he does it. The first thing he does is that he exposes him. He names him and shames him. For the very first time, he identifies him. He says, away with you, Satan. Away with you, Satan. And that was a very important moment when Jesus said that. Very important, very crucial for us that Jesus actually named this tempter. And he gave reason for to explain his struggle, his torment at this time. And he puts it down to Satan. He exposes him. Exposes the tempter and names him, identifies him as Satan. And I find that really, really helpful. So it is. Because there are times in my Christian life, and I'm sure you're no different at all, and you feel an oppression. So you do. There is a hindrance. There is something. There is an opposing force. And sometimes I have made the mistake of saying, well, I'm just tired. Or I'm just having a bad day. That lets him off the hook. I think, friends, we have to recognize him. We have to identify him. We have to realize that he is going around as a roaring lion seeking for someone to devour. He's real, friends. And Jesus stands against the enemy here. He exposes him. But then he expels him. So he does. He expels him with four words. Away with you, Satan. Away with you. Then he continues.
fires the word of God at him yet again. He says, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Verse 11, the devil left him, and the angels came and ministered unto him. He expelled him. He expelled him with the word of God. And that's why it's so important that we know the word of God. We memorize the word of God. We steep ourselves in the word of God. Because each time, Jesus, his only defense was the word of God. That was the weapon he used against him. And that's the weapon we need to use as well. How do we use it in that way? Well, friends, we use it whenever we feel that oppression and that hostility. We use the word of God by bringing it to memory, by sitting down and reading it, reflecting on it. That's how we can use it to expel him from us. Stand up and serve. Stand against the enemy as you serve. Expect him. Expect him, but stand against him. Know who he is. And then, thirdly, stand guard and watch for him in the future. You know, verse 11 is a great verse. It says, "Then the devil left him, and the angels came and ministered to him." It's a great verse. The devil left him because he was battered with the word of God. He was hit with that authoritative command, "Away with you, Satan." It says he left him. He left him. That's good to know. Good to know. By using the word of God, by firing it at him, he will have to leave. But friends, he may come back. He may come back. And that's why we have to stand guard and watch for him. He may come back. Did he come back to Jesus? Well, in Matthew 16 and 23, later on, what did Jesus say? Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan." Remember that time with Peter? He says, "Get behind me, Satan." So he left him here, but he came back. So he did. Don't we read in 1 Peter 5 and 8? "Your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion seeking for someone to devour." And that verse reminds me that he can always come back. So he can. And that's why we have to stand guard, armed with the word of God, to resist him, to fight against him, that he may indeed once again be forced to leave us. Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it's written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Let's stand up as a church and serve. But let's remember, as we serve, as we take this gospel to people, and essentially through the gospel call people to follow and Jesus Christ and acknowledge him as their Lord and Savior, Satan will respond to that. He will react to that. He wants to be Lord. He's not at all happy when other people proclaim Jesus as Lord. He will react and respond to that. But we're not to be afraid to the point of giving up and stopping. We have the word of God. That's all Jesus used to stand against the enemy and to resist him to the point of having to flee from him. May God help us to stand up and serve in these days. And what would happen if the entire church stood up and served? I think a lot would happen. So it would. Great things would happen, things that would indeed bring glory to the Lord. Let's pray.